Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Vaidya Sahni Ayurved Laboratories Limited H1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Rohit Madhav Sahni, Chairman and Managing Director from Vaidya Sahni Ayurved Laboratories Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello, everybody. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Vaidya Sahni Ayurved Laboratories' earnings call for the half-year ended September 30th, 2023. I would like to begin by expressing my gratitude to you for taking the time to join us today. I have with me on call Dr. Vidyut Bipin Bhag, the Whole-time Director, Mr. Shripad Upasani, the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Yogesh Vadavalkar, the Senior Vice President, Marketing and Corporate Relationships, Mr. Darshan Shah, our CFO, and Adfactors PR and our Investor Relations team. We have shared our results update presentation. I hope you all must have received it. I would like to share a brief insight about our company, some recent developments, and industry scenario before we get into the business and financial performance of the half-year ended 30th September 2023. Vaidya Sahni Ayurved Laboratories works under the brand name Madhavbagh. Madhavbagh is a unique medical service institution which blends traditional medicine systems with modern diagnostic techniques. We have more than a decade of expertise in treatment and cure of chronic ailments like cardiac disease, diabetes, hypertension, and obesity. Founded in 2006 with a vision to reduce the mortality and morbidity due to the heart disease and lifestyle disorders, our approach to treatment using non-invasive, multidisciplinary, and innovative therapies has helped establish Vaidya Sahni as a dependable option for treating chronic ailments. We provide healthcare services through Madhavbagh clinics and hospitals. Journey begins in 2001, where I learned the traditional Ayurvedic treatments from my father, Shri Madhav Sahni, who was an Ayurvedic doctor. This was despite having MBBS degree in modern medicine and keen to pursue a specialization in surgery. I chose to serve the patients as per the traditional means using modern research-based methodologies. We developed research-based customized holistic treatment plans. This is where the seeds of future success of Madhavbagh were sown. We developed research-based therapies with the success of total heart treatment process with the heart patients. We decided to build an exclusive residential Ayurvedic treatment facility for heart patients. This was, we could offer a combination of Panchkarma with appropriate daily routine yoga exercises, controlled diet under the best medical guidance. The first hospital is spread across 3.5 acres land at Khopoli. That's near Mumbai-Pune Express Highway. This is the world's first residential hospital treating heart ailments without an invasive procedure like surgery. This hospital started receiving continuous stream of heart patients from far and wide. So we thought to take Madhavbagh treatment closer to patients. With this thought, we decided to take up the new initiative which was set up, which was supposed to set up Madhavbagh clinic at Dombivli. After experiencing overwhelming response, similar clinics were opened at Thane, Vilayapalle, and so on. Realizing the benefits of these clinics, we introduced the franchise clinic model, and first franchise was opened in Goregaon. As part of our strategy, with long learning towards knowledge-based and research-oriented work, we decided to set up an independent research center named Madhavbagh Research Center, which catapulted the name of both Ayurveda and Madhavbagh in the medical field in India and abroad. Another feather was added to the crown when, at World Cardiology Congress held at Beijing, China, research papers from Madhavbagh on the utility of total heart purification treatment, Sampurna Hriday Shuddhikaran, were accepted and published over there. Several eminent heart specialists from all over the world were present over there. Similarly, our research papers had been accepted in World Cardiology Congress in Dubai as well. patients from various parts of the world have been coming to Masoba Hospital at Khopoli for treatment. We started another hospital at Nagpur in 2012 on the Amravati Highway near Kundhali village on a sprawling 6 acres plot. There is a lot of misunderstanding and fear about heart diseases amongst common people. To overcome this, Masoba took an initiative called Arogyam Hruday Sampada, which was a health awareness program. Several programs have been held all over Maharashtra under this initiative, where stress tests were conducted absolutely free for the senior citizens. We realized that in order to properly combat rising threat of heart and other chronic illnesses, it would also be necessary to hire skilled medical professionals. With an aim to properly educate and train new doctors, with the help of Vaidyasani Ayurvedic Trust, Madhobal Institute of Preventive Cardiology was established at the Maharashtra Arogya Vidyan Vidyapit, the Maharashtra University of Health Sciences, as a tribute to and recognition of Madhobal's achievement. This is India's first interpathy chair established in the Maharashtra University of Health Sciences. As on September 30, 2023, the company operates 350-plus clinics across Jammu, Kashmir, Punjab, Haryana, Uttarakhand, Delhi, NCR, Uttar Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat, Goa, West Bengal, Orissa, Karnataka, Kerala, Chhattisgarh. Out of these, about 54 are company clinics, while 62 are OPD clinics, OPD as well as mini clinics, and 234 are actual Masoba franchise clinics. We also operate two cardiac prevention and rehabilitation hospitals in Khopoli and Nagpur respectively. We empaneled with more than 30 insurance companies to offer cashless facility at the Khopoli hospital. At the company's clinics and hospital, it uses modern diagnostics, diet and physiotherapy and advanced Ayurveda to provide heart disease, diabetes, hypertension and obesity reversal treatments to its patients. This helps in improving the exercise tolerance of patients, improvement in grade of symptoms, improvement in maximum oxygen uptake by the patient, as well as reduction in HbA1c and the metabolic equivalence improvement. Now talking about some of the recent developments, past period was very eventful, where we achieved several milestones during our journey. We executed share purchase agreement with the shareholders of Dynamic Remedies Private Limited and UV Ayurgen Pharma Private Limited to buy 100% equity share capital, making them a wholly owned subsidiary of Vaidyasani. Dynamic and UV, both companies, have diverse medicine and product portfolio, and it is one of the top suppliers to the company's Ayurvedic medicine. We would like to inform you that company has completed acquisition and has brought operations of target companies under the company's management. Both these transactions would help the company to achieve more effective economies of scale, better quality and maintenance, and quality control of the products. Recently, we had a leadership transition where I took the responsibility as the chairman and managing director of the company. I shall ensure continue to strive to devise and execute growth strategies for the company in this new capacity. Adding to that, our core leadership team gets strengthened as Mr. Shripad Upasani takes up the role of Chief Executive Officer. Together, we aim to pave the way for future growth for the Masoba brand. We have recently incorporated a company named Ahar Shastra Foods Private Limited with Ms. Pooja Patil on 6 September 2023, where a company's shareholding will be 20% of equity share capital of new company and rest 80% will be held by Ms. Pooja. Ahar Shastra will be in the business of arranging workshops, training for preparing, inventing new health food recipes and inculcating habit of having healthy diet and recipes for its consumers and patients. We have recently inked a memorandum of association and understanding with Andhra Pradesh MedTech Zone Limited, which is also called as AMTZ, a state government owned company, to build Ayurvedic cardiac care hospital, namely Masoba AMTZ Hospital in Visakhapatnam on revenue sharing basis. AMTZ is India's first integrated medical devices manufacturing zone being created for a one-stop solution covering common scientific and manufacturing and commercial facilities for medical device manufacturers and innovators. We believe this consortium will be a stepping stone for the company to provide its research-based healthcare services in the southern part of India more effectively. This hospital will be spread across area measuring about 13,000 square feet, approximately, having 32 rooms which shall include Panchakarma rooms, adequate space for yoga practice and other related spaces. Speaking about the overall industry, the healthcare industry in India is estimated about 110 trillion by 2027 in INR, with a CAGR of 30%, with the digital healthcare segment having a 17% market share. The pressing industry challenges, including the growing population and increasing prevalence of chronic diseases, are pressuring the existing healthcare infrastructure to raise demand for quality and healthcare services from patients and providers. Growing acceptance of telemedicine. India has seen a growing acceptance of telemedicine post the pandemic. The telemedicine market in India was almost about $830 million US dollars in 2022 and is expected to grow at a CAGR of 24% from 2023 to 2030. The drive to increase the availability of affordable internet and mobile connectivity has made it easier for patients to consult with doctors online. The use of AI and machine learning for medical data are helping to improve patient outcomes and increase access to care, while also reducing the cost. This will especially beneficial in rural and remote areas and where access to healthcare is often limited. In addition, telemedicine can also help reduce the burden on India's already strained healthcare system by providing quicker and more efficient access to the medical care. Proliferation of more remote monitoring tools. The patient monitoring market in India is expected to grow a CAGR of 9.39% over the next 5 years. Remote monitoring tools are becoming increasingly popular in India and more people seek ways to improve their health and wellness. With these tools, patients can take a proactive role in their healthcare and receive timely interventions when necessary. Some of the most popular remote monitoring tools today include fitness trackers, blood pressure monitors, heart rate monitors and glucometers. The patient can wear these devices or place them in their home, transmitting data to the healthcare provider regularly. The data can then be used to identify trends and make necessary changes to the care plan. Transformational diagnostics. The Indian diagnostic market is expected to grow a CAGR of 7.12% till 2025. Transformational diagnostics are pivotal in population health management as they can help identify individuals at risk for certain diseases and conditions. Healthcare software as a service has become an increasingly popular solution for healthcare organizations looking to improve their efficiency and quality of care. Healthcare providers need solutions to store electronic health records and population health management data also. SaaS-based solutions help healthcare providers manage patient medical records, appointment and billing information. As healthcare organizations turn towards trusted third-party software providers to focus on patient care, the Indian healthcare SaaS industry is expected to grow by about 19.5% CAGR, till 2025. The Indian healthcare industry is expected to reach a valuation of about US$132 billion by 2023, growing at a CAGR of 16-17%. The sector needs to be more cohesive and with many small and medium-sized startups. In such a scenario, mergers and acquisitions are expected to play a vital role in the growth and consolidation of the sector. Some of the key areas in M&A activity is expected to increase include expansion into new geographies, entering into new segments like senior care, wellness and preventive care, and increasing focus on specialty care, promoting digital health and consolidating the hospitals into healthcare teams. From telemedicine services becoming more widespread to an increased usage of artificial intelligence in patient diagnosis, the emerging trends illustrate how Indian healthcare will continue to evolve over the next few years. As India continues its journey towards better healthcare outcomes, it is at the forefront of healthcare services through several innovative initiatives to improve access to affordable quality care with technology at its core. We can look forward to even greater progress in coming years and beyond with growing medicine, pharmaceuticals and healthcare investments. Now coming to our financial performance, half year H1 FY24. In the half year ended 30th September 2023, our company achieved a net revenue of 51.10 crore, and which is an increase of nearly 12% half on half year. EBITDA, excluding other income, was about 2.68 crore in H1 FY24 as against 4.17 crore in FY23 H1. Profit after tax was about 1.18 crore in H1 FY24 as against 2.74 crore in H1 FY23. The basic EPS stood at 1.12 in H1 FY24. And this is from our side. We can now take questions from your end.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Keshav Harlalka from BHH Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to ask the question. Am I audible? Am I there on the conference call?
Yes, you are audible. Please go ahead.
Yes, yes. Yes, hi, Dr. Rohit. The first question is for you. Can you comment on the FMCG push? I've heard that Madhav Praj has been a runaway success. Are you looking to replicate the same success in branded ghee and branded honey or any other products, which will be primarily for disease reversal, which will be like a second thing for all the patients who come out of the Madhav Praj ecosystem?
Yes, I would like to answer this question. You are absolutely right. Madhav Praj has been a very great success in the online digital media as of now, and we were able to sell about more than 65,000-75,000 units in the last 6 months. And as soon as we established the offline retail distribution channel with this product of Madhav Praj in the coming months, soon we will be also planning because we have already had those kind of products like honey and ghee, which are already been tested, and the products are ready to be launched. But once the retail distribution channel is set, then we will be introducing the rest of these products, which will be easy to be sold. So at this moment, we'll be concentrating on building the brand of Madhav Praj along with the retail offline distribution and the online distribution, which is already going on. But yes, we do have those products of ghee, honey, as well as several more products like gummies also, which will be slowly and gradually they'll be pushed into the retail market so that the sale picks up from the retail chain itself.
Okay.
Thank
you. Yogesh Walwalkar, who is the Chief Marketing Officer of Madhav Praj. Sir, Yogesh, can you give us an update on the approval for clinic-level insurance? Because we've been talking to some people for the last 2 years, and I don't see any update over there. Can you give us what has happened and whether we are going to get a clinic-level insurance in the next 3 months when the approval will finally come through?
Keshav, for clinic-level approval, they have kept a mandate of having NABH approval for all these particular clinics. So NABH approval is in the process because it takes time because it's a new process for the clinics, which has been now laid down by the government. And hospital, the way we have done hospital NABH, we are also doing our clinics NABH. So once the clinics are NABH, the process will be complete. So we are just waiting for getting our clinic NABH. The process is on.
Okay. So can we assume it will happen in the next 3 months, say by December end of the year?
Yes, we are hoping that, sir. We are hoping that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Now my question is for Dr. Rohit. Sir, can you comment on the Vizag hospital? How many beds are you looking at? Are you looking at 32 beds or totally how many beds? How big will this be? What is the project cost? What kind of gestation period? What can we look at over here?
Okay. Okay. Yes, Vizag hospital is a very important step for us. So we have already inked a memorandum of understanding with the AMTZ in which we'll be having 25 beds over there. and the total square feet would be somewhere about 13,000 square feet. And these 25 beds, along with the OPD section that we'll be having, we will be expecting a good amount of reach in the Andhra Pradesh area as well as in the Vizag area. And we having a good rapport with the management in the AMTZ, I hope for a good amount of corporate tie-ups in over that area, as well as being a direct relation with the government sector. This will also help in improving the recognition of Madhavbagh services all over the nation also. So these would be the intangible expectations that we'll be expecting from the Vizag Hospital. Along with that, we'll be expecting a good business because we have already started training the manpower over there. And in the first few months, we'll be expecting a good amount of OPD footfall over there through the surrounding general practitioners, as well as the local marketing that we'll be doing. We'll be expecting a good amount of footfall for OPD, and as soon as next couple of 3 months as we go ahead, we'll be expecting the admissions to start in over there. The concept would be same as what we have it in Madhavbagh Khopoli as well as the Nagpur Hospital, wherein the admissions for diabetic as well as heart patients would be open for treatment over there. The management plan would be the same, in which the treatments, the diet as well as exercises would stay the same. And in the coming months, we expect a good amount of ROI from the whole thing. We have tried to keep the expenses as minimal as possible, but we are again investing good in having the reach and awareness in and around the Vizag Hospital, which I'm sure in coming 6 months, we'll see good revenue coming out from the same hospital.
So, will we have insurance tie-up for a person taking admission in the hospital as we have for Khopoli and Rohini?
Yes, we have already started with the process of Rohini registration, which is required for insurance tie-up. So, once that is done in next couple of months, the insurance tie-up will be in place and we'll be able to admit patients with the insurance coverage as a cashless facility for these hospital treatments also.
Okay, now one more final question. Sir, you had mentioned briefly about Dubai. So, are we going to open clinics in Dubai where the EBITDA margin, where the margins are much higher for us, or we are just exploring it, or are we going to give a FMCG push in Dubai? Is there going to be any Dubai tie-up also with Madhavbagh?
Yes, I'll explain you. The whole plan would be, we have just incorporated the company in Dubai. Now the bank formalities are going on. I think in next 15-20 days, those formalities should get over. Post that, there are few doctors in Madhavbagh, India itself, who are now shifting to Dubai. So those doctors will be giving an examination which is required by the Dubai Health Authority. Once the doctor passes out this examination, the doctor would be eligible to practice in Dubai itself under the Ayurveda brand name itself. Now these doctors who will be shifting to Dubai, these doctors will be starting with their own franchise clinics over there. So company will not be investing into any kind of company clinics in Dubai. The most interesting thing for Dubai is going to be, if at all this doctor is being licensed by the Dubai Health Authority, we'll be able to have insurance coverage to the patients who join up with the Madhavbagh treatment in Dubai also. So that is going to be an OPD-based insurance kind of acceptance once the doctor is registered under Dubai Health Authority licenses. So that is going to be an interesting thing for Dubai business venture.
This sounds very, very interesting. Thank you for sharing this. My final question is for Darshan Shah, who is the CFO. So can you give us the cause for the tepid financial performance? What I've heard is that you have increased the clinic count from 300 to 330. So 30 clinics are under gestation. So has that impacted the P&L? Can you comment on why we have posted such poor half yearly numbers?
Yeah. So thank you, Alalka ji. Now let me put it in this way, that we have increased clinic count from 302 to 350 as on 30th September, and as on today it is 358. So it is almost an increase of 50 clinic, which includes FOCO model, franchise owned company operated, as well as few of them are company COCO model, company owned, company operated, and few are purely FOFO model, franchisee owned, franchisee operated.
So these are the mixture of the clinics which we have opened 50 as a count in this 6 months. Obviously, to nurture this clinic and to bring it to the break-even level and to nurture further to the growth level, we have to spend in terms of marketing efforts, in terms of, you know, the cost has increased to the salary, we can call it infra support, which we have created in terms of BTL activity and the ground level activity, which we are doing at present in North as well as the other region and other states where the brand presence is little less compared to what we have in Maharashtra. So this has increased, no doubt, the kind of fixed cost to a certain level. But we are very optimistic on those part that this is going to pay us in the future when this clinic is going to convert into the break-even and going to cross this break-even point and will give us the growth. So there the leverage effect will come and obviously this cost will also pay off in terms of good return.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's all from my end. Thank you so much. I wish you all the best for the coming 6 months. I hope we see a much better set of numbers for the full year. Thank you so much, Dashi. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Agam Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So, quick two questions I have. Two of the follow-up only of the previous participant. So, can you, I get that we are, you know, building phase for the clinics and hospital and a lot of costs are being absorbed. But what I see is even the sales growth has not been happening on the revenue front. So is it that there was a lesser offtake in for this quarter for us or how is it?
Yes, I would like to answer this. Now if at all we see the whole scenario, the second half is normally very strong as compared to the first half. That is first. At the same time, right now the focus in last 6 months was on building the brand for Madhav Prash, which is an online sales product as of now. But in the future, we'll be looking out for the retail sales. So we had an opportunity to sell about 65 to 75,000 units in last 6 months as soon as we started retailing this Madhav Prash brand. So we had focused majorly on that. And at the same time, we had kept the marketing budget very limited for the clinics and the hospitals. And still, we could have an equal amount of sale as that we had in the last year without having any kind of depreciating the sale as compared to the marketing budget. So if at all you see, that is a good sign that we have shown that in spite of reduction in the marketing budget for the clinics and hospitals, we could get more number of patients to the clinic through word of mouth and the brand has been proven itself that in spite of reducing the marketing budget, we did not reduce down the sale. We did not grow to that level, but the focus was on the retail branding for Madhav Prash and that is how the sale has stayed to the same level. But in the coming 6 months, we will be able to concentrate on the clinics and hospitals, which will give a good boost to the sales.
And margin should be back to the double digit?
Yes. Yes.
And also on the Dubai front, mm-hmm. We can get a bunch of cases. So briefly, what will be our investment and what are we looking in terms of revenue or will it start kicking in this year?
I'll explain you. I don't think so this will start in this year, but in the coming year, it will surely start. That is one. Second, our investment in Dubai is going to be only for licensing the products. Whatever products will be used by the doctors as a franchise over there, those products would belong to us and we'll have to invest on those products. That is one. As well as the second kind of investment is going to be the local awareness about the treatment brand that we'll have to make for the patient to come and accept the treatment. The corporate lectures, the corporate activities that we'll be conducting, that is going to attract some kind of investment. But no investment related to any kind of fixed asset.
Sorry. Will this be a kind of a clinic or will it be just through a sales channel push?
No, it is going to be a clinic, but a franchise mode of clinic where the doctor will be having his own clinic and Madhavbal will be giving his expertise.
Okay, great initiative.
Thank you.
So, we are selling this Madhav Prash and you told me we are launching the gummies hospital is also coming up, even the Dubai initiative. So broadly, I mean, I'm not catching the numbers. So broadly, we are currently at a 50 crore run rate basis. So where does this number head to in the next couple of years or 3 years down the line where, you know, everything starts kicking in terms of revenue and cost initiatives are also, you know, getting the operating leverage. So where do we see ourselves in couple of years at least?
Okay. So we see in a couple of years, I see somewhere about, if at all we see, it could be doubled as we go ahead. That is what we are hoping for. As a whole, if at all we talk about the CAGR, we will be somewhere going towards about 25% of CAGR growth is what is expected.
Okay, for next couple of years.
Yes.
Okay. That's it from my side. I'll join the.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harsh Mulchandani from Tarzan Product. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand that in a couple of pointers, you know, like we were targeting much higher revenue run rate. So now that, you know, we've been falling behind our revenue run rate, is there some challenge we are foreseeing now which were not foreseen 2 months back or, you know, in terms of top line, are we seeing something which was supposed to come in but is getting deferred? And second question was on the hospitals. Do we see more tie-ups? The initiative which you've taken for Visakhapatnam is very good. But do we see any more such discussions ongoing which can close in next 12 months or so?
Okay. Thanks, Harsh. This is a very good question. Let me put it in this way. That challenge is, yes, every business has gone up and down. But what we did and what as a strategically we have moved in this segment, which is called Madhoprash, wherein we started moving out a product, and what we lastly, you know, what we have explained as a marketing strategy, wherein we are promoting the product, wherein we were able to sell even a few months advertisement and promotion and push, which has able to we were able to sell more than 70,000-75,000 units of Madhoprash. So this unit sold along with has brought in the patients which is, you know, coming into the clinics, and the footfall has also, like, in that way it has been maintained. So this was a strategical call when we are trying to acquire the customer newer segment through having a product push. Now this was the point where we have limited our spends in you know, marketing spends, as the resources are we are very calculative about those things. So resources were in that case we have limitedly spent on the clinical promotions or clinical advertisement or any kind of lead generation. So those things has you know, in some sort of way you know, clinical revenue and growth is somewhat stagnant or somewhat in a marginal increase. But at the same time, we were managed to get it product promoted, and line by line, we are also have the few products which we are going to launch in time to come. So this is going to help us into establish the newer territory, and you know, in the product segment, once there is a growth compared to service, I think product segment has a tremendous growth opportunity. So that was the whole mindset behind what we have taken a call. Since, you know, obviously, as you can see the result, you know, that what we are expecting and what we are anticipating, you know, about the target, obviously, there is some lag because the lesser amount of spend in the clinical activity and hence the clinical revenue is to somewhat extent restricted. But now what as a strategy we are moving forward, as we what we have learned from this experience, we are going to increase those spend as well. And in the time to come, we are going to see that there is a good amount of revenue target which we are going to pick up. This is for the first question. Now the second question about why is that tie-up, you said that the, you know, hospital tie-ups and all. So yes, internally what we are planning that, you know, in Khopoli we are expanding the room facility, IPD facility, which is going to add up in the admissions, as well as the other hospital communication is also in talk with, you know, few like, you know, the resort which has not been closed, or the hospitals which are, you know, not able to operate or not efficient enough to, you know, walk through.
where the Madhobad can come and play some, you know, operation management contract or a kind of hospital franchise terms which can be negotiated and which can be in place for further, you know, spread of this Madhobad brand into the hospital segment. So those hospital franchise concepts can be the future in this time to come.
Got it. So no active discussions for more such tie-ups, right? This was one which got...
There are a couple of discussions probably, but on this channel, I think how much it is wise to put up those active discussions on this front, I think it will. We have to wait a little to come those things into the media. So I just request that there are certain discussion and communication which is there, which is in pipeline, and we are hoping that, you know, we will be soon signing of those MOUs and all. But yes, we have to wait for a while.
Okay, got it. Perfect. And I'll get back in the queue for my other question.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll move to our next question from the line of Suruchi Parmar from NX Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. Actually, I'm new to this Madhobad family. So, just wanted some clarification on the business. Like, what I see is the first hospital you have built in 2006 and the second one is in 2012. But still, the hospital revenue is a small portion in overall revenue. So, can you tell me that what actually we do in hospitals and why are we keeping these hospitals if the it contributes to a small portion to revenue? Can you just clarify about this?
Okay. I will clarify. Right now, if at all we see the Khopoli Hospital and the Nagpur Hospital, we have two hospitals. The first hospital, that is Khopoli, is about 45 bedded, while the second hospital is Nagpur Hospital is 20 bedded. So, if at all we see total 65 bedded, as of now we are in Khopoli Hospital, we are about 90-95% utilized with our beds, while in the Nagpur Hospital, we are about 75-80% utilized with our beds. So, yes, you are right that as compared to the total revenue, the hospital revenue is not so big, but as of now, they are completely utilized with their beds, and as we go ahead, we could see that the number of beds as we plan to increase in the coming couple of years, the revenue can double up with the hospitals itself. And if at all you see as a whole, in this 6 months also, there has been a 25%, there has been some growth of about 15-20% in these 6 months itself as compared to the earlier months. So, you are right that the total share of the hospital revenue as compared to the clinics is less, but we are concentrating on the hospital segment also, and as soon as the bed size numbers increases, the sale proportion also is going to increase as compared to the clinic sale.
Okay. One more clarification on your clinic business. The 60% revenue comes from service portion rather than the product.
Mm-hmm.
So, is margin lower on the service side or the product side? Because you have again less margin, correct?
Okay, Darshan will answer this question.
Okay, let me put it through the unit dynamics, we call it. Wherein typically in any clinic, the revenue which is driven, like 60% is out of 100 is service revenue, wherein the 40% is typically a product revenue. Now in any clinic, once it is a franchisee-owned center, so typically they make the margin of 40% in the product, whereas the company, there is always a margin of more than 60% as far as more than 65% as far as the product is concerned. But whereas at the time of services, when we consider, in case of services, yes, the franchisee own unit always makes the revenue or a margin of 70% in case of service segment. Whereas in case of the company owned centers, it is, you know, it's the same 70% which we make it in case of company. So if you can see that the service always gives you a more margin because typically the consultations or therapies are lesser in the cost as far as the product consumption and other thing is concerned, but at the same time it gives you more margin. As far as the product is concerned, obviously there is a cost of consumption and all which is added to the comparatively there is a less margin compared to service, but there is a good amount of scalability. So this is what unique dynamic is there as far as the service and product is concerned. I hope that has clarified your question.
Yeah, I just wanted to have another clarification on your franchise model. How it works? Like, how much portion you help you provide to the franchise, and how you cost to them, or how your profit depends on the franchise clinic? What is the model? How you work on that?
Okay, so typically, as I said, typically a franchisee which makes 100 rupees of revenue, they are closely held franchisee wherein all the services and product which is provided and the provision has been done by the franchisee and centers to the patient is again procured and provision has been made by the company. So in turn, all these services provided, they have to procure those products and consumables from the company. So typically, if we narrow down to just to on a single statement, for every 100 rupee revenue which a franchisee makes, they ideally purchase for 40 to 45 rupees of product or services altogether from the company. So when they make the 100 rupee revenue, I make the 40 to 45 rupees of revenue. Obviously, that variation is because of the stock. Sometimes they purchase more, sometimes they purchase less based on the requirement. So that that explains the entire thing, that out of every 100 rupee revenue done by the franchisee, I make the 40 to 45 rupees of revenue from that. And then again, out of this, my cost related to the consumption in case of products, and apart from that, the common overhead which company owns, that is subtracted. And if you consider that 50% is the cost which I subtract, then also that 100 rupee out of which I can make easily a gross profit or gross revenue of 20 rupee as a whole. So I think this clarifies the question.
Okay. In your presentation on slide number 19, you have shown the revenue from hospitals and clinics as for FY23 as 29 lakhs and 148 lakhs, correct? Sorry, crores. 29 crores and 148 crores. Mm-hmm. So, this the hospital and clinic is company owned, or it is a total of franchise and company owned as well as the overall Madhava?
Hospitals are typically company owned. There are two hospitals, as Dr. Sane has explained. One is at Nagpur, Khondali, which is owned by a company, and the other one is at Khopoli, which is operated by a company and managed by the company.
Okay.
Apart from the clinic, there are the 302 clinics as on 31st March. Around 49 clinics is owned by the company, and rest of are the franchisee, including that FOFO and other OPDs and mini clinic structure.
So that 148 crores
is shown in the sorry to interrupt, Ms. Parmar, may we please request you to rejoin the queue as the several participants are waiting for their turn.
Just to answer that last 148 crore, that is an enterprise level collection and data which is presented to make the understanding very clear about the total enterprise level revenue of the organization, which includes the revenue owned by the franchisee center as well.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please restrict your questions to two per participant. If you have any follow-up questions, you may rejoin the queue. Next question is from the line of Akshay Shah from Chris PMS. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving me opportunity. So my first question is that you have guided for 25% revenue guidance. It is intact, as it would mean that we would be doing 70-75 crore revenue in second half. Hello.
Yes, I did get your question. Now we are looking out for it.
For about, as of now, whatever we have done, I could see about, say about 20% of growth as compared to the last year, we'll be able to achieve very swiftly, very easily. So that is what we are aiming for. And we are still trying to push ourselves ahead beyond what I've just mentioned. So we are targeting for the revenue of that level as what we have asked for.
Okay, sir. And my second question is that you have done backward integration by purchasing medicines in supply companies, and also marketing expenses also reduced. So what is the reason for decreasing EBITDA margin?
The EBITDA margin has reduced down majorly because of two things. One is because of the additional manpower that we had brought in for the local marketing of the clinics. As we had reduced down the total marketing budget for the clinic, we had brought in business development executives, which has attracted some amount of manpower utilization over there. That is about 1.5 crore. And the second reason for that was we have now tried to go ahead with a model which is a franchise-owned company-operated kind of model of about 29 clinics. In the North India. So we have established these clinics in Delhi, we have there in Uttar Pradesh to some extent, Punjab as well as West Bengal. So these clinics are in the format of franchise-owned company operated. So we have the manpower which is on our payroll, and that is how the total manpower cost has gone up, which has led to the reduction in the total EBITDA.
Okay, so will we recover EBITDA margin, or
yes,
it will be going this level?
Yes, we will be. About, we expect about going towards about 8 to 9% of EBITDA till the year end.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Hello.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Siddharth Lakhanpal from Darshan Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Ji. I just wanted to know one question on the enterprise level. Like we mentioned that since we were focusing more on the modest trash part and we limited our budget for marketing of the clinics and hospitals. So going forward, once you incorporate different products in terms of key and you set up new clinics on a similar base aggressively, and with the new hospital also coming up, do you feel that EBITDA margins will remain stressed for the next 1 to 2 years? Because if you don't spend on marketing, your revenues have remained flattish for those segments. However, if you increase marketing spend, EBITDA will get strained. So what are your views on the company level? How do you foresee this playing out?
Okay. Yes. You are right to a certain extent that when we are trying to grow on several fronts, the EBITDA margin would be stressed to a certain level. But at the same time, we are taking certain measures due to which we will be able to release down the pressure on the EBITDA margin. As you mentioned about having the AMTZ hospital that we are marketing, we'll be marketing for it in the local geography, that is going to pull in extra marketing costs. As well, when we are planning to have the marketing of Madhoprash in the retail section, yes, we'll be again attracting some kind of marketing cost to it. We are trying to come up with some marketing campaigns which is going to help the Madhoprash as well as the Madhobagh clinics together, so that both can be benefited because both belong to the same brand and related to the same category of preventing heart disease. So that is how we are planning in the future. But yes, you are right. The EBITDA margin would be stressed for a couple of years in the coming 1 or 2 years. But I am sure that we'll be able to again release down the pressure and reach to the set margin in the coming year.
Okay. And just one follow-up question. So, as you mentioned, your new hospital will have about 25 beds. So, if I compare it to Kundhali Hospital, where you have about 20 beds, so revenue for last year was around 6.5 crores, if I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you expect a similar number to come from this? And when do you feel that you break even from the new hospital? How long will it take for you?
Okay. The break even, if at all we see, for the AMTZ Madhubag Hospital, it's going to be about 4 to 5 months, which we'll need for the break even. And reaching to the level of Kundhali Hospital, it will take about a year or two that we'll reach to that level with the number of admissions that we expect.
So about at a similar 70-75% bed utilization, you reach that in about a year.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That'll be all from my end.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Piyush Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So, I want to understand ki how we understand ki whatever services we are providing in Ayurveda something, and the people are getting benefit of it. So you have said in PPT 10 lakh patients you have treated. So, what I'm trying to understand is how we can see the efficacy of your services. How regular the patients need to come? Is it something like say whatever a cardiac or diabetes you are prescribing whatever product of medicine? Is it something a one time or 3 months, 6 months prescription, or it is something the customer comes regularly and then it becomes like a regular medicine and something like this?
Yes.
Like what happened in allopathy in heart disease?
Yes. You have an excellent question. I'll try to explain it out. For example, the first question that how do we check the efficacy of the treatment? So Madhubag is a unique concept in which we have Ayurvedic treatments fused with modern parameters to check the efficacy. Like for example, if an angiography done patient comes to us with blockages, we have a treatment for about 3 to 6 months, and post the treatment, we get repeated the same investigation for the patient where the patient can see the efficacy of the treatment. If the patient is a diabetic, we have a check parameter on HbA1c as well as a parameter called as GTT, that is glucose tolerance test. If at all a patient of blood pressure comes in, we have a modern parameter called as ambulatory blood pressure monitoring. As well as for various different diseases that we treat, we use the modern parameters with the Ayurvedic treatment. That is the most unique concept of Madhubag. That is first. Second, if at all we see, the whole journey of the patient inside the Madhubag clinic or hospital, as you said, you are absolutely right, the patient when he comes down to the clinic, he is first assessed by our doctors on the protocols that have been decided. So all these 358 clinics manage and perform the same protocols that we have designed for these patients' treatment. As per the protocol, the investigation parameter is fixed. The parameter is assessed. On the basis of this parameter which is assessed, through the help of telemedicine, we have cardiologists who certifies these reports. And these certified reports go back to the clinic doctor and from there to the patient. So once the patient is handed over with the report, on the basis of the report, we have various different care plans available for various different parameters according to the severity of the disease. Based on that, each and every doctor is trained to provide that kind of services as per the fixed parameter. The fixed care plan is being prescribed to the patient. As the patient enrolls in this whole care plan, the normal care plan is usually about for an year. We also have 3 year care plans also, wherein every month we have about 200 patients who get enrolled into it. But as of now, when a new patient comes in, about an year annual care plan is being advised to the patient. And when the patient joins up in this care plan, the patient normally in the whole year comes down to this Madhubag clinic for about 21 times in the whole year. In this, when he comes down, he has about 1.5 to 2 hours of session inside the clinic, wherein he meets the doctor, he undergoes a stress test or any kind of typical investigation parameter that he's supposed to go through. he is being prescribed with medicines as well as the therapy, the Sampurna Hriday Shuddhikaran therapy, or is the Panchakarma therapy which has been prescribed by the Ayurveda age-old text 5000 years ago. Those therapies are being performed along with the modern parameters to be checked every time when the patient comes inside the clinic. So this is how the patient as well as the doctor has a clear visibility of the improvement or disimprovement in the patient. And I'm very proud to say that we have a compliance of more than about 85% of compliance with these patients who come down to the clinic and enroll in this annual care plan. 85% of these patients comply, and out of these 85% patients who comply with our therapy, 90 to 95% of patients improve with their disease parameters, and that is how we have published about more than 150 research papers in peer-reviewed allopathic journals that this Ayurveda therapy is beneficial for the patients in chronic disease ailments.
Okay, and thank you for the detailed reply. But again, follow-up question on this. Are you saying ki, from the ECG, you able to understand if somebody is having a coronary artery blockage? Am I understood correct?
Yes, you have understood it correct, but not completely correct. It's not going to be only the ECG, but it's going to be ECG.
Because for blockages, you need that angiography.
Absolutely. You are absolutely right. So we have several tie-ups with several centers, like NM cardiac centers, etc., in which we have a tie-up for CT angio to be done for those patients, as well as CT FFR done with those patients, as well as the patients also undergo these kind of angiographies by themselves.
Okay. Just allow me. I believe we are not having any time constraint because I have some questions to understand the business, and I believe this is the first call we are having. So, sir, are we saying that the blockages can be removed through this Ayurvedic medicine of Madhava? Correct? That is understanding correct?
Let me explain. Yes. There are two things that happen with the blockages. One is increase in the blood supply to the heart muscle. That is one thing happens. And the second thing is reduction in the plaque size. The recent trial that we have published, and it is supposed to get published, it has been accepted now. And that trial clearly says that when we had done a CT angio with volumetric plaque assessment of these patients, before the therapy and after the therapy, we had seen that in a span of 6 months, 30% of reduction of these plaque size was evidenced on the CT angio with plaque volumetric assessment. That is one. Second, when we have done a pilot study with a process called as FFR, which is called as fractional flow reserve, in which whether the blood supply improves after this therapy in the patient's heart or not, as compared to previous FFR angiogram. So yes, we have seen that the FFR also improves, that is the blood supply coming to the heart before the therapy and after the therapy we have assessed, and the blood supply also improves. So both the ways, the patient has to reduce down the future chances of heart attack. To reduce down the future chances of heart attack, only two things are important. One is the plaque stabilization. The plaque shouldn't rupture to create a heart attack. And second is going to be increase in the blood supply to the myocardium, that is the muscles of the heart. If these two things are taken care of, the heart attack chances reduces down. And that is what the trial is about. About 92% of patients were free from heart attack for the whole year during the therapy. So that is how we have tried to promote our Madhavak service.
So again, closing on this point again, for blockages, we need to go through angiography, right? Then only we can get to know if somebody is having a blockage and all. Then if there is there, then your treatment can start, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I have a further question, sir. Please allow me. What is the, like you said, some people enroll for 3 months, some people enroll for your care for 1 year or something. So what would be the average size of this? Suppose somebody has come to you for a 1 year plan. So how much you have to pay for a year plan? What is the cost of that?
I'll tell you. Now several different category of patients come in. If at all a heart patient comes to us, the average billing for the whole year is going to be about 70,000 to 80,000 rupees for a heart patient. If at all he is a diabetic patient, the average cost of his treatment is going to be 30,000 to 40,000, 50,000 rupees based on his diabetic severity. Same kind if at all a patient with hypertension joins up, blood pressure wala patient join hota hai. So the average cost that he pays is about 25,000 to 30,000 rupees. And the same for obesity. So, we have different categories of patients, different disease-wise patients and different disease-wise care plans and the costing for the same.
Okay, fair enough. And I believe our ratio would be largely in the heart and diabetes. Can you just give a breakup?
If at all we see the ticket size, heart disease ticket size is more. But in case of volume, if at all we talk about, the diabetic patient volume is more than the heart patient.
Okay. Sir, then how we if that your process or your medicine is that effective in something, so how we take this to a next level? Because I know we have around 350 clinics right now, and we are, let me say, we are just started now, correct?
Yes.
So how we make this like just get a authoritative, or I want to say like the get approval from let's say government approval or something, because what happens, there is a misconception also in the people's mind with respect to Ayurveda. Yes. Because many times we read somewhere somebody was doing some Ayurvedic medicine and something, and then they visited to a normal allopathy doctor or something.
Yes.
And then they get to know the problem is because they took some Ayurvedic medicine. Yes.
I'll answer you. The way to go ahead is as what you said, the government recognition. Normally, the government doesn't have any body so as to recognize any kind of therapy, either angioplasty,
any Ayurvedic regulatory authority body.
I'll tell you. The Ayurvedic regulatory authority is nothing else but central council that is called as Ayush in India. So, this Ayush doesn't have the authority to give a yes or no to these therapies, because these therapies have already been mentioned in the Ayurvedic texts which are being taught in the Ayurvedic colleges. But, as what you said, the angioplasty and bypass surgery, if at all we go back into the history and understand how did these therapies grow, the reason behind it was the payer. Either the patient could be the payer, or else the government can be the payer, or else the third party is insurance. So till now we have tried to achieve two pillars. One is the patient who is supposed to be the payer, and second is with the insurance companies. So as of now, the insurance company and the patient has been paying for us, but now the third most important pillar is the government. That is about the central government scheme hoti hai, CGHS, Central Government Health Scheme. If now we are planning to go ahead, get ourselves empaneled with the CGHS, that is Central Government Health Scheme, due to which all the PSUs and corporates will get empaneled like any other hospital with us. So the way to go ahead is through this, through which we will get more number of patients and more number of therapies done, and more number of research trials get published, the whole model gets concrete in the coming years.
Okay. So Ayush can also be a beneficiary of it. It comes under Ayush.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are there under Ayush. We have our medicines which are being already approved by the FDA, the Ayurvedic FDA, as well as FSSAI. So we do have a few medicines. We have the Ayush mark also. So that is how we are going ahead. We have a very good close rapport with the government of India, Ayush government. So we have been invited for various different cardiological symposiums, as well as we had been the prime sponsoring thing for the Ayush event that was held in the last year, where I had the opportunity to meet the beloved Prime Minister.
So over there, yes,
I had presented the whole published article, after which he had asked me to meet his chief cardiologist. I had also met him and explained to him everything. So now we are waiting for a good call from them. But and in the meantime, I think the CGHS, the Central Government Health Scheme, if at all we get empaneled ourselves with them, every central government employee will be able to undergo our therapy as we go ahead.
Okay, and any side effects to this which can have any claim to us in case of legally something possible or not possible?
To be very honest, adverse effect is very, very rare in case of Ayurveda treatment, because when we tried it on animal trials, we could see that the minimum lethal dose for the animals is very huge, and that will be very huge for human beings. So such a huge dose of no medicine has been administered through Ayurveda. So adverse effects is very, very least. So talking about any kind of legal complications, I think it is very, very least, unless and until we don't go for tall high claims or something like that, which I don't think so. Till I am alive, anything will be done in the organization.
Okay. Sir, then whatever we are growing right now, the model looks like we are growing to a franchise model, correct? And we have some plan of around, I don't remember, maybe 1,000 or 1,500 clinics. So how somebody gets your franchise? Is it something the person should be is a doctor or something, or he just need only infrastructure, because then you connect with the doctor? How that somebody, the people who are getting your franchise are the people actually the brand ambassador of Madhav Bhav brand.
Very true. So, till the recent past, yes, I will explain you. Till the recent past, the doctors who used to practice in the Madhav Bhav company clinics, they used to get graduated with that knowledge, and they used to start with their own franchise with Madhav Bhav. That was the initial part of the growth. Now the word of mouth in the medical fraternity has grown to a certain extent, due to which the doctors keep on coming to us through the website, through direct meetings, as well as through college associations. So these doctors come to us and directly reach to us for the franchise opportunity. Then we evaluate those doctors. We have a training format. We have a training program through which the doctors have to pass. And on that level, then they are being awarded with the franchise concept. So in the recent few days back, we had also tried for a model which is the franchise owned and company operated model, in which the doctors would be on our payroll, and we will be providing the therapies over there, while the franchise owner is supposed to have just the infrastructure and the stock availability would be the responsibility of the franchise owner. So we are to a very good level, we have succeeded in that model also. But I think it will take about more 6 months or maybe 12 months for this model to completely prove its stability. If this model proves its stability, I am sure that growing to about 1,000-1,500 clinics also will not be a great task, if at all this model proves to be beneficial.
And whatever, I think you explained earlier, is that whatever 100 rupees of franchise sale of 40 rupees comes to you, correct?
Yes.
So, sir, okay, I understood more or less business and with your detailed reply. So, what is the plan now? Because, we will open the new clinic, okay, in that way the organic expansion will happen, okay, we will grow whatever number of patients we will serve or something. But if, let's say, some person are coming, to, maybe they will be buying a one year program care, then they will not be a repeat customer. Let's say somebody is cured. I believe then they will not require your medicine after 1 year. So you need to keep bringing a new customer on your platform, correct? The understanding is correct.
Yes, I will correct you to a certain extent.
So my question is like, what is our target? Like, I think you mentioned in the CKT, the 1,000 clinic and 10 hospitals.
We have two targets. We have two targets. One is expanding ourselves to about 1,000 clinics and beyond that. That is going to be one target. Along with that, we'll be also expanding with the number of hospitals also. But along with that, the second target is very important, in which we will be planning to have more number of patients getting treated in these clinics. And the whole target that I am running ahead with is having a heart disease-free India. So this is a complete mission that we are running with. And in this mission, we are trying to reach to those people through creating awareness programs. And if at all those patients need help of Madhav Bhav to reverse their diseases, we are there with their help in the clinics and the hospitals. So as a whole, if at all we see, the total clinics that we have is about 350 clinics. And as a whole, we have a capacity of more than about 100,000 Panchakarma procedures to be done in a month. And in the same time, we have about more than about 12 lakh panchakarma that can be done in a year. But as of now, we are only about 50 to 60% of utilization of the existing capacity. So we still have a huge capacity. So the second target would be utilizing the existing capacity in the clinics, which will again going to add up on the revenue and the turnover as well as the profitability. While the number of clinics that we grow in, that is going to be our target. So about having about 1,000 clinics, and every clinic should have about a crore turnover every year. So that is what will be the plan as we go ahead.
Okay, and what is the margin inside? Because this business should have a good margin, like a hospital business should have. Because if I see a big hospital, I'm not comparing.
But you can compare.
Hospital.
There is no problem.
Okay.
You are absolutely right.
Like the hospital business, which some of the businesses which I frequently cover and see, are making like 20-25% of EBITDA something. I'm not comparing in.
Yes.
And then further, our clinic model also has a service model, service revenue of 60%. Still, our EBITDA percentage is around 6-7%. So I'm not able to understand what
I will
the number.
I'll tell you. Right now, if at all you check out with the hospital margins, the hospital margins are as equal as that of the allopathic hospitals itself. So the EBITDA in the hospital is quite strong. If at all you look at the standalone point through the hospital angle point of view. But if at all we talk about the gross margin is about 70% for the whole services that we provide. So if at all we talk about this gross margin, we have as of now, we are a growing brand. So we plan to grow as fast as possible with the limited resources, whatever we have. And with this, we are trying to burden ourselves with good manpower. And this manpower, as it helps us in the growth, that is one. And second is going to be about the marketing. So if at all we see, there are two big elephants in the room. One is the cost of expansion through the number of clinics as well as number of manpower that we need. That is one. And second is going to be about the marketing. So these two elephants are the major responsible factors for reduction in the EBITDA. But as we grow up, as we lead to a very good level of brand acceptance from the patient side, the cost of marketing will reduce as well as the cost of expansion will also not increase to that level after a certain level. So that is how we see that the EBITDA margins would improve as we grow ahead.
What I understood, your doctor or advertisement cost has already been upfronted, and the further going forward, your operating leverage will kick in and the margin will grow from here on.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So what could be the number? And sir, what you said that hospital business has a margin as compared to other hospital business, can you say it's a 20-25% margin?
Yes, if at all you talk about individual hospital itself, if at all we don't load the cost of the management onto it, the individual hospital does have a good margin.
Okay. And what could be the EBITDA number?
Due to time constraints, we'll take that.
Just one last question. Thank you. Yes. Sir, what could be the, as a company overall margin can reach? It can reach to a 10-12% in a 1-2 years time or something. And second And second thing, as you said, 10 hospitals you want to open, and currently we are 2 in Nagpur and Khopoli. So have you identified the places where we want to open it, and anything concrete has been done on that side? And third point. You just said some EBITDA margin contraction because of the infrastructure, some cost, something we have mentioned something. So I don't understand that, because the franchise model, whatever the cost needs to be done, should be anchored by the franchise. So what has impacted us? Thank you.
I'll try to answer all of them. The first is about the infra cost that you asked about. Infra cost, what do we explain is the business development executives that we had developed for the local marketing of the clinics. That is what has been called as the infra power, cost. That is one. And second is the franchise zone company operated model that we have started in the north. So that has been termed as infra cost. So the total manpower that has been required in this, which has attracted, that has been the major culprit for the question that you asked. That was one. Second, the question that you asked, I just forgot. Sir, this hospital, have you identified where are the 8 hospital and have you started preliminary work on?
So the third hospital already has begun. We have already signed a memorandum of association, memorandum of understanding with the AMTZ, Andhra Pradesh Medical Tech Zone. That is the third hospital. We are also in talks with few other sick nature cure hospitals in which they want us to go ahead with their hospital infrastructure to manage that and to have a business. So we haven't still evaluated them completely through the business angle point of view. Hence, we are not commenting on it as of this point over here. But yes, that is also in queue. And in the coming months, you'll be able to hear that also.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, we will take this as the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Rohit Madhav Sahni, Chairman and Managing Director from Vaidya Sahni Ayurved Laboratories Limited, for the closing comments.
Okay. Thank you very much. I would like to thank you all for taking the time out and attending this call. I'm also thankful to each member of the Madhavak family, as well as the clients, patients, banks, investors, financial institutions, and all other stakeholders. So for any other further inquiries or information, please get in touch with our investor relations team. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Vaidya Sahni Ayurved Laboratories Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.